Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dawson's Darlings. Today, we will be discussing season 6, episode 22, Joey Potter and the Capeside Redemption.
So Saz did a hair flip right before this started.
A real one, not even a metaphorical one.
A literal hair flip. And then I had to look away because otherwise I was going to laugh. And I didn't, what I noticed, and I've brought this up before, is that when I laugh at your jokes, it's really, really hard for me to like pull myself together. It doesn't seem to be as hard for you when you... And also, like, your laughter makes me laugh because your joy brings me joy. And again, I couldn't help but notice it doesn't seem to be the same for you, but we love it. You know?
Listen, I just have to I have to be in character here. Okay. I'm a professional podcaster. Okay. And I need to be, I can't just be lollygagging around and laughing at your jokes all the time, Kim.
Sure. That's fair. That's very fair. Very fair. So there we go. This episode, the streaming episode summary says, with the future of his movie in doubt, Joey rallies their friends to help Dawson finally realize his dream. It first aired May 7th, 2003, and it was written by the one.
Oh, well, the one of two.
No, the one.
Oh, yeah, okay, she's all we care about.
The only.
Uh-huh.
Gina.
What's her name? Oh, when the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's Fattore.
And with this episode, we say goodbye to Gina Fattore on the writing. Like, you know, she's in the room still. She's still exists.
But this is her last writing credit.
Indeed, this is her last writing credit. So I thought maybe we could just kind of, why don't you talk about Italian things for a little bit?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I just kind of had an Italian snack, and I know it's not going to sound like an Italian snack, but in my family, it's a very common snack. Just a Italian roll with some butter on it. Wow. You know what would have made it even better? Dipping it in a little bit of Sunday gravy. Oh, right off the stove, right out of the pot.
Oh, that's right. Because you guys call them, what's it? The red sauce? Marinara. You guys call that gravy.
Marinara sauce is different.
Oh, what's Sunday gravy?
Gravy is like what you put on spaghetti and meatballs, but marinara has a little bit of spice to it, which is what you would like dunk calamari or fried calamari and mozzarella sticks in, you know?
Man, let me tell you something. This is a culture I know nothing about.
Yeah, I mean, in our culture, a C is not a C. It is simply a G. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't. But it's not, did a hand gesture.
It's not.
When I say hand gesture, I mean she did the Italian hand gesture.
Kim's not allowed to do it.
No.
Well, it's not calamari. It's galamad. And it's like, where did the G's come from? We don't know. But don't fucking ask us about it, you know?
It's also written by Tom Capanello, directed by Michael Lang.
Whatever. Just kidding. Gina Fattore.
Yeah. I think great Gina Fattore, classic Gina Fattore.
Mm-hmm.
Bummed it's her last one. But we're getting to the end here.
Yeah. We're really rounding the river bend. You know, just
and
around
that is
the river bend.
Classic industry saying.
Mm-hmm. We say that all the time. Ugh, God.
Yeah. I felt for a second, I was like, whoa, did I get asked to come back and be, what's that word? What do we always say?
Prolifically rejoining the biz?
In the biz. Oh my God. Am I okay? She's
not even iron deficient, you guys.
No. I'm a little drunk.
Oh, yes. Mood. Oh,
God. No, I'm not.
No.
Cold open. We get a Joey Potter voiceover to start. Very tight on a clock. And Joey tells us that time plays tricks on us. Memory is an unreliable narrator. She says she can't swear that this is exactly how it happened, but this is how it felt.
I don't know if I like the narration.
I don't know that we need it. And I'm going to blame Tom Kapanos. It never comes back. So like an example would be One Tree Hill. Because it's like of the same era, of the same mm-hmm. time. At some point in the show, like a couple seasons in, all of a sudden now Chad Michael Murray's character, Lucas, has a voiceover. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? Why do we suddenly have a voiceover? But then it's because it turns out like you later, like episodes and episodes and episodes later, find out that he has been writing a book. And so those... like there's a vague payoff in that it's stuff from the book.
All right.
This does not ever pay
this
off.
This is not so that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one misstep from Gina Fattori as we
know. No, we blame Tom Kapanos.
Cause in this house we believe women.
Yeah.
She was
what
probably
if that's
like
all
Tom,
she contributed.
Tom, this is dumb. And he was like, no, 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 no. She's like, all right.
Well, we'll just move on then. On the sidewalk outside of the Sugar Shack, Grams and Jen are having a sidewalk sale. It's a little montage that we got going on in here.
Yeah, they're moving very far away. So they have to sell all their stuff.
Well, they are moving into a home that is furnished.
Oh, fine. Whatever. Logistics police.
Okay. Wait. Whoa. Ma'am.
License and registration, please.
Pacey and Jack are packing up their apartment. And yeah.
Why are they moving out?
Well, Jack is going to move to
yes. Jack New York. Is moving to New York.
Pacey is unhoused
broke, I guess.
And unemployed.
Yeah.
And what they didn't clarify when Emma was like, I'm not going to marry you, Jack, is what they could have said is like, so I'm going to go back to the UK.
Oh, is that where she is? Because she just
she must
straight up
be.
I mean, unless they were just like, we're going to put Emma, yo, we're going to put your apartment up for rent. We're all moving out, taking our big ass TV and just figure it out, my girl.
Yeah. So that's that.
So there goes the loft of trouble loft.
Mm-hmm. The loft of trouble loft.
Of trouble loft.
Wow. Two brains. That's mm-hmm. what's going on there.
Yeah. Working against each other.
Audrey is in summer school.
Loving it.
Loving it. Pacey's moving back in with Doug.
We get a cute little scene of Pacey knocking on the door and Doug just answering and giving him like a scowl. Like, yeah. Can't believe you have to move back in, bro.
Moving over for him, though. Being like, all right.
Well, you know, they're bros.
They're bros. Just they every once in a while dip into some light gunplay, but otherwise they're bros.
No, only if he's triggered by being referred to as gay.
I'm not gay.
Not gay. It's okay to be gay.
And then Dawson is back working at Leary's Fresh Fish.
Oh, that restaurant still exists, huh?
Yeah.
How convenient.
Mm-hmm. And then Joey's rowing her little boat on over to Dawson's, where Dawson is packing up the bedroom, not to leave, but because he can't make his movie. So it's like, why?
His dream is dead.
His dream is dead.
Dawson, the drama. It's like one misstep and already your whole dream is dead. Like, you're not going to make it in Hollywood.
You know what? You're right. Because I did, like, as you were saying it, first of all things, you're right. So I would never argue with you. But I did have, as you're saying it, a thought of like, well, you know, he lost $18,000. That dude has no money. So that's okay, but you're right. Like, listen, if this is the thing that's like, I can't do it, then lean into that and don't do it because you're not going to be able to make it.
Yeah, you're 20 years old. Just like start over again. It's going to be fine. You have plenty of years of suffering before you actually give up on your dream. Okay. Trust us.
I'm not smart enough to have given up yet. That's worse. I think that's way worse. I think Dawson is being a baby, but I also can understand that in this moment, it probably does feel like the end of the world. But then he accuses Joey of not taking his side. And then that's when I'm like, Dawson, you got to calm down. Joey's not on anybody's side. She's on both sides. She loves both of them.
As she always has been.
Yes.
Quite literally always. Even when Dawson like crashed that boat and it was very clearly his fault, Joey was all like, you know what? Maybe you didn't see him. I believe you, Doss.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Dawson says he never wants to see Pacey again. He also doesn't believe in his script anymore because it was supposed to be a celebration of friendship. And he doesn't believe in that celebration of friendship anymore.
God, the drama.
Which is also Joey's reaction, because Joey's like, I do not give one fuck about your sulking. I'm going to come back. And I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. And this shit is not for me. So figure it out. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Act one at the Sugar Shack. Joey has pulled Audrey, Jack, and Jen together, and they are reading through the script. So they are going to figure this out, I guess.
They're having a table read.
Yeah. Joey has cast Audrey as Tamara.
Yes.
Yeah, solid. They also make a joke about how Eve didn't make the cut of the script, which I liked.
Was Eve the one who gave Dawson the blowy on the boat?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kind of weird that he wouldn't have put her in the script. That's like his first blowy for sure.
I don't know. I mean, I was waiting for Abby Morgan to make an appearance, but I guess not.
They're showing a lot of the water. So in some ways she's in every scene.
She's there. Yeah. Her spirit is there.
Her spirit is always there. Pacey was supposed to be at this meeting, but he didn't show. So then Joey heads to Doug's to collect him. Doug's like, nah, Joey, Pacey's not here. And Joey lets herself in. And you understand why Doug was like, don't come in here. Because Pacey is on the couch watching soap operas, pantless. And apparently this is supposed to like show that he's got a meltdown. But you're watching TV in the middle of the day without your pants on. That's fine.
I mean, he does have some cereal stuck to his face, but who among us, you know?
Yeah. This was all of us pandemic, early panini.
Exactly. Early panines.
Pacey says he doesn't want to help with the movie because he ruins everything.
Oh my God. These men, I can't. With their pity parties. These man-childs with their pity parties. No wonder why Joey's like, oh my God, I'm so tired of you people.
I need a new
hobby.
Choice. Pacey tells Joey that nothing will ever be the same between him and Dawson or any of them. Everybody has grown up. Nothing will be the same. And Joey needs to accept that. She says she doesn't and she never will.
Thank you. Next.
In Harley's room, Harley's macking with Patrick Harley.
It's so PG.
I know. It's also so like classic high school. Just like dumb boy. Just macking with a cute dumb boy.
Yeah. Just like sitting straight up on your bed. It's like his hand is kind of like lingering over your bra.
It's romantic. Or,
yeah, it's something.
So Joey Bussin catches them macking and says that she won't tell Hetson, but now they owe her a favor.
Ooh, Joey, you mix.
Whoa. They have children. So is Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all kind of the same age. Jack and Jen are talking to some dude that does something with film or equipment rentals or something. I don't know. He's there. He exists. This guy. They're talking to him, trying to get him to do a favor, and he does not want to help. So Jen's like, I'll go out with you. He's like, it's still a no. And then he looks at Jack and is like,
However, what do you have to offer, my guy?
I mean, listen, if both of them come up to your counter and you gotta, that's not Slim's Pickens. That's just.
I mean, that's winning the lottery right there. Picking up between Jack and Jen. Woof.
Yeah.
Both, please.
Congratulatory sip of her Brook water.
Congratulatory sip of your Diet Coke.
I'm sorry. Sorry I exist.
No, I'm not mad that you exist. I'm mad that Diet Coke exists.
Well, that's because you're healthier than me.
Don't come for me on Instagram because I hate Diet Coke, okay? Coca-Cola
all you
original.
Diet Coke heads.
I'm a Coke head, all right? Give me that pure Coke.
Nice.
And no, Coke Zero doesn't count. Coke Zero is just as bad as Diet Coke.
Oh, I think it tastes bad. Weirdly, it is the taste for me that I prefer. I prefer the taste of Diet Coke. And I think it's because I always grew up on diet sodas because I didn't have a healthy relationship with food and drink in my house. So we had to have diet everything.
Sure, same. But then one day I was just like, you know what? I'm having a regular Coke. And colors were brighter. It was a life-changing moment. And yeah, I never went back.
I've had regular Coke. And I've had Coke Zero, and they're too sweet for me.
That sucks.
Taste buds, man. And then we're back with Dawson. What did you whisper that I missed? Because you look very proud of yourself.
I think I just said that sucks.
You just looked so proud of yourself.
That sucks. Megan, sucks for you.
Is that a lavender shirt?
Yeah.
She's in her lavender haze?
It says baby on board, which is dumb, but like I'm at the point where I'm just wearing things that will fit me.
Let me see. Stand up with your
and it's
baby
a maternity
board.
Shirt.
Like, oh, she's having trouble standing still.
Baby on board. Out of breath.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, so it's just whatever fits over the belly at this point. I don't care what it says.
Anyway, well, it looks great on you. The lavender looks great on you.
Thanks.
She's never worn something that doesn't look great on her anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Hard disagree, but thank you, Kim.
Then we're back with Dawson coming home from work. He sees Gail on the porch. Gail's looking classic.
Radiant
Gail.
As ever.
Ugh. He says he's going to take a nap because he's in between. He is working hard. This poor guy is working hard. He's like, my dream is dead. So I'm going to work doubles at Leary's Fresh Fish. He's trying to make, he doesn't have any money. He's tired.
He's like, I lost my life savings that was going to make me a tier one major motion picture for only $18,000. So fuck me, I guess, you know?
A major mosh. Wow. So he tells Gail he's going to take a nap in between shifts. She's like, okay, good luck with that. Oh, besides the soft bebop thing, talk about someone who's never done anything wrong in her entire life. She's so cute. Dawson goes up to his room to take a nap. When he gets there, there's an intervention. It's Joey, Jack, Jen, Audrey, and a bunch of film equipment. Producer Joey has producer Kim the shit out of this.
Oh, yeah. It's legit stuff, too. And she's put together the room back together.
Mm-hmm. She works fast.
And everyone's like, we pan across the room and everyone has their little duties. And Jack's all like, I got the equipment. And Jen's like, I'm doing this thing. And Audrey's like, I'm going to be Tamara Jacobs, who should be in jail, but I'm going to play her in a movie. And Joey's just like, see, everything's going to be okay. And then Dawson classic comes in with like, all right, gang, let's make a film. I don't call them movies. I call them films. Okay.
He's back, baby. Then Gail comes in with the champagne.
She's like, why don't you pop this? Celebrate a little bit. Get a little craze and then make your movie. And he's like, it's a fucking film, mom, but all right. It's basically exactly how the scene goes.
Yeah. Act two. I will say that we make fun of Dawson a lot, as we should, as he deserves, because we are film nerds as well.
Mm.
This, although it comes together very fast, everything else about this is like, I don't know, it's just like a scrappy little up by your bootstraps asking for a million favors, cute friends making a movie.
Yeah. We'll find out eventually later on in the episode that's not what this is, but we'll talk about it.
Okay. Well, okay.
Act two. I got opinions.
I'm excited and scared. Act two. Jack and Joey are producing the shit out of things. Jen is the AD. We're outside to shoot the first shot. We're at video time or video whatever. They're that.
This film set has security. It has grips. It has electricians. Grip equipment. Equipment, not equipment. It has like literally paid extras. This is not a favor, call in favors kind of film set, nor is it an $18,000 budget film set. It is a legitimate, much more than that film set. But hey, what do we know? We're just prolifically adjacent to the biz.
Yeah.
They have ladders, you know? I mean,
they had me until I saw the ladder, and then I was like, okay, guys.
Listen.
I thought this was supposed to be amateurs.
And I know the security guy is Doug, but Doug's not doing that shit for free.
No, he's not for them. back in Doug's place, Doug is complaining about how Pacey didn't make brekkie. And Pacey's like, would love to make brekkie, but I got plans. But they're unknowable plans. Because we're back at the video time scene where it is going fine, but Audrey doesn't want to take her robe off, which wouldn't be a big deal, but she doesn't have the dress on under it, which feels like there were a lot of in-between solutions between wear the dress or be naked under your robe, but that's fine. But Patrick, the kid that's Patrick, is playing Pacey. Patrick is playing Pacey, and he ran into her with a jelly donut.
Yum.
That actually sounds pretty good.
I wouldn't pick a jelly donut first, but I wouldn't turn it down.
I gotta be in the mood for a jelly donut.
Yeah. I mean, if it was the only one left, obviously I'll eat it. But if you're bringing me a box of fresh dozen donuts, I'm not picking it first.
What are you picking first?
Something with chocolate. Sprinkles. Oh, or if there's like a blueberry donut, I am a sucker for a blueberry donut.
Then we're back at
what are you picking first, Kim?
That seems like you didn't really care about that.
I thought you were gonna offer it up. I didn't know you needed to be prompted.
Yeah. I only brought up the donut. I only asked you to do this podcast so we could get to this episode, so we could talk about the donuts. I only brought up the donuts so you could ask me about my donuts, but it's fine. Then we're with Pacey at the dentist's office, where he's trying to get them to give $200 in exchange for a credit in the movie.
200 whole dollars?
Shit, man. everything's going fine, but the team is about to lose the video store location because they're running long. Day's going long. So they're going to try and shoot as quickly as possible while Doug takes the store owner out to distract him. So they're like, listen, we have no time for anything. We have barely any time to breathe. We have to move fast. Nobody do anything else except for work. And then Todd's there. This is not the time, Todd.
Todd just strolls in like, well, well, well. Isn't this a sight to see? Hello, you creepy buggers. It's me, Todd. I think that impression is better than my Graham's impression.
I mean, it's really good, but your Graham's impression is untoppable. One's really good. Yeah.
I mean, I have been honing my Graham's impression for 6 whole seasons, so.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. That one was really good. Does he say anything about alligators?
I'll see you later, alligator.
That's not, you lost it there.
Oh. I'll see you later, alligator. No,
it's
all right.
Getting more old man
it's
British.
A farther away from it. Got it. All right. Noted.
No, you're perfect. You've never done anything wrong in your entire life, but that was not your best. It was better than anyone else has ever done. So it's tricky. So Todd is there. Todd is there to be the DP and camera op. So that's what he's going to do. He's not there to direct. He's there to just be helpful. So that's nice.
Yeah, it's supportive.
Yeah. I genuinely laughed out loud, though, because he asked Dawson for coffee, and Dawson goes, no. And Joey just is watching the interaction, and her face just looks like, what a moment. And then they both look at her and she's like, oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah, no, I'll get the coffee. It's fine. And she just like walks off to go get him the coffee. But for a moment, her little face is like, oh, a moment for these two.
And then she realized she was going to have to do it.
Yeah. Actory, now we're out on the dock. And Todd, whilst smoking a cigarette, is telling Joey that he believes if he eats broccolini every day, he'll never die. But the problem is that Joey's brought him broccoli. So he sends her off to get broccolini. Which I thought to myself, I bet when I watched this as a youth, I thought, ugh, what a dick. But when I watched it as an old, I thought, in LA, pretty reasonable request.
Big difference between broccolini and broccoli.
Yes.
Which do you prefer?
I think I prefer broccoli. Broccolini, the problem is that when people give you broccolini, it's always, almost always overcooked.
Uh-huh.
And they never give any fucking knife. I can't eat that shit with a fork. I gotta cut it.
It's way too long.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Hey. Likely it's not what she said, but no, that's what she told you.
David just pops out of nowhere. Oh, now you're flirting with the broccolini. which do you prefer? See how I asked you?
Strong broccoli fan over here. I do not like broccolini. I think it tastes weird.
Oh, interesting.
Even though it's virtually the same vegetable.
You know what I fuck with? Steamed broccoli with lemon.
Oh, I was going to say with melted cheese on top, but yeah, good too.
Oh, I fuck with steamed broccoli with cheese on top. Are you out of your mind?
I fuck with anything with cheese on top.
Yeah. I fuck with cheese.
Cheese is the superior food.
Yeah. So we got a little montage of them shooting the swamp monster scene while Joey enlists Audrey to be Todd's assistant. And Harley, playing Joey, is trying to suss out whether Joey's character is a lesbian. And also calls Dawson an asexual film geek. So, yeah. Both those things.
They're valid.
Yeah, maybe I'll check out. And Pacey's running around all around town. It ends with Pacey at a restaurant where he runs. So trying to get money from this restaurant, where he runs into the receptionist from the dentist's office. Now, at the dentist's office, we kept seeing this woman look at Pacey. And it was all very like, oh, she's kind of flirting. It turns out that is a very recast Christy Livingstone.
I don't remember her from the earlier seasons.
She, what's Pacey's little song? She's the one that is gonna go season two. It's Allie Larder plays her, I believe.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, that's why I didn't recognize her.
Yeah, exactly. Is it Allie Larder? Yeah, it's Allie Larder. Oh, God, her first on IMDb, the first credit that pops up is Final Destination. And fuck, those movies are so good. I love them.
Still change lanes if I am following a vehicle with honestly anything on the roof that can potentially fall off and kill me.
You must. You must.
Mm-hmm. So if you are also traumatized by that idea, you are probably an old like we are.
Yeah. Or you have great taste in movies.
True. Someone taught you well.
Yeah, I get it. They couldn't get her. That's fine. By this point, it was like Allie Larder, much tougher get for them.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish they would have.
Yeah, I was really
got a sound alike.
I wish that even in the dialogue, they were like, oh, I was played by Allie Larder in season two, but she was too big of a get now. So it's me. I did not recognize her name, her face, or this whole story.
Yeah. See, that's tricky. And what's harder is like you watched all these episodes. Not back to back, but like you watched 6 years worth of show in 2.5 years. So the time between having seen her the first time and this was much shorter.
Mm-hmm.
You've watched this show like in depth, like you've watched it to watch it. And then we've talked about it. That name like should have rung a little bell, but it was gap was too far. Too much had happened. They needed way more than just like, hey, we're doing inside baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this scene could have been cut. Like the only purpose it served was to pay homage to a character from an earlier season.
Yeah.
Hmm. The crazy Dawson heads back in 2003 knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, they did. And 2023.
Aww. Not me.
Crazy Dawson head. Out on the Leary porch, Grams and Jen are hanging out as Grams like shits on the curtains in their old house.
That's what she decides to focus in on. She's like, ugh. Those curtains are such an eyesore. I wonder how Gail even deals with it.
I loved it so much. That felt right for Grams.
Yeah, that was like the cattiest she's ever been in her time on this earth.
It was good. Grams talks about how nice it is to see all the kids back together for the day. Their one last day in Capeside. Jen is obviously worried about Grams. And Grams makes some comment about how they are just starting their next chapter, a nice long chapter.
It's very sweet.
Yeah.
I don't want them to go.
I know. Then Dawson is there to kick him out because they're in his shot. And Grams is like, yeah, that checks out. That's a good goodbye, I guess, from the kid next door. Fucking kick me out. I'm an old lady with cancer. But kick me out of the chair, Doss.
He's like, but the light, you know, you understand, Grams.
Grams gets it. So everyone gathers around to say goodbye to Grams, Jen, and Jack with a scene that is, I liked it because it is obviously very clearly everyone just talking as the people, not as the characters. Mm-hmm. And the camera's just like kind of floating around and everyone's just kind of shooting the shit.
Yeah, it's very candid.
Love. Yeah. I always get very... like a series finale will always make me cry because I'll think about not just like that, but just like everybody saying goodbye.
The journey.
Yeah. And this made me think of that.
Yeah.
When Grams and Jen are talking on the porch, it is pouring rain.
Oh, it sounds really nice.
It sounds really nice. But at first I was like, I bet it's like they just decided to do it. But it's really loud.
Right.
And then when they say the goodbye.
Moments later,
it's not raining anymore, but it's still wet on the ground. And when they pull back for the wide, the whole sky is like silvery gray. Like it's one cloud. It's the opposite of not a cloud in the sky. It's one cloud. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that sucked for them. I bet they were like, we're fucked. We can't do anything about this. We've got a million exterior shots.
Yeah.
The schedule is really hard this week. So we're doing this and we're fucked. The weather fucked us.
Yeah. They were like, in 20 years, no one's even going to care on a podcast. So
we cared.
Enter Kim and Zaz.
Oh, I'm more like, I didn't even care about the continuity of it. Just more of like on a production. That probably was a significant bummer.
Hashtag sig bum.
Oh God, you're so good with hashtags.
Thank you so much.
God love her. Yeah. Then everyone's waving to Jack, Jen, and Graham so they get in the car. But it's like a really long time and Audrey's like, Jesus, they're never leaving, are they? And so they just like wave.
It's kind of funny. I mean, yeah. It took me out of the moment a bit, but it was also funny.
Yeah.
And then Jen continues to stand there and she's just like, oh my God, what is this feeling? which is something I don't know if I feel like you might relate to, because you don't often have a lot of complex feelings. She's checking her paneling, her robot paneling.
Robot love Christmas. This is 6 months ago. By the time we're a month out from Christmas, you'll hear this 4 months after Christmas. But I did text Zaz about how I was going to go rogue and put up Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving.
Because I'm going out of town on the Friday after Thanksgiving. And I want to come home to Christmas. And I, you know, my whole house is smart house. So I tell my lady robot, make it Christmas. And when it's all set up, she does make it Christmas. She brings the lights down. She turns on the Christmas lights. She turns on the Christmas music for me. It's really nice. I love it.
Who lives in a mansion now?
Not me, but I do have gardeners. You okay?
Mm-hmm. It was a laugh turned burp turned, I don't know, man. A lot of noises coming out of me these days.
Your body is a miracle. Jen's what is this feeling is, she says it feels like everything is getting smaller and smaller. It's all still there, but she can't touch it.
So deep, so wise. Mm-hmm. And Jack's all like, it's sadness. Get in the fucking cab.
Audrey's over there razzing us for not leaving soon enough. We gotta go.
Get in the cab. You're making it awkward. You feel sad. We get it. Let's go.
Also, in the best goodbye to Jack possible, is that Jack goes to wave. And this isn't even part of his character. This just like happened to fucking Kurt Smith. And they were like, all right, well, we're not reshooting it. There's just like fucking dirt on his hand. He just like, I don't know, touched something and got his hand all dirty. He was like, ah, fuck it. We're shooting through it.
He's rolling around in the dirt before they called action.
I don't know why, but I was like, that's cute.
That's cute.
Silly boy. Jen watches the Dawson, like as she's getting ready. She's still not in the fucking cab. As she's finally getting ready to get into the cab, she looks over and she sees the Joey, Pacey, Dawson characters, the kids, Harley, Patrick, and the other one. Mm. They've taken a break from the lagoon, the swamp monster scene. So they're all like in their wardrobe out by the dock playing around as kids do. And I like that. Jen takes it in, but I like that that's a moment for us to be like, they were just fucking kids not that long ago.
Yeah. I mean, this was a mere 5 years ago.
But Wild,
so much has happened in those 5 years.
So much has happened in those 5 years. Then we're with Pacey and Christy Livingstone, of course. Mm. He tells her about how he sailed around the world and owned a BMW, but he's back now. He's back.
He's back, baby. I've lived, Christy, but... don't worry, I am still humble.
And for you, I could be a man.
For you, I could scooch over on my brother's couch.
On that, she has to go. She leaves her number, tells him to call her. And he's like, this dude is feeling pretty fucking good. Christy leaves, reveals Joey. Joey's also like, I don't recognize her. How are you? Pacey, you're the weirdo that you recognize her. No one else fucking knows who this is. But Pacey tells Joey that Christy is a metaphor for all the girls that never talked to him in high school. To which Joey is like, okay, just to remind you, me, Jen, Andy, Audrey, all girls, all spent time with you.
Your English teacher.
Yeah. She should be in jail. Everyone has talked to you.
Yeah, you did fine for yourself.
Yeah. They talk a little bit about the movie. Pacey's trying to like figure out how things are going. And Joey's like, I'm not doing this. Talk to Dawson. But he doesn't want to do that. Instead, he slides an envelope of cash over to Joey to give to Dawson. He says that's what he's been doing. I feel like that wasn't a surprise. By the time we got to this point, I was like, yes, that's what he's doing. He's going around town collecting the money. He said, and giving away EP credits in Dawson's movie without asking him.
Without even, yeah. He's collected a cool $350.
He tells him, he tells Joey to give it to Dawson and says, it's not all the money he lost, but it's as much as he could get in a day, $350 probably. And he'll give him the rest. Joey says she could give this to Dawson, but she won't. She slides the envelope right back to him and says, this has never been his fight, her fight.
Her fight. It's not my fight. I loved that. It was very mature.
Yes.
Because I'm nosy enough to be like, fine, I'll do it for you. But she took a step back and said, no, thank you. This is between you and Dawson.
Yeah. I like that you called it nosy.
I just like to be, I like having one foot in the drama, but not completely, you know?
No, it was the exact right description. That's what it is. It's like, yeah, I'm a little nosy. I want to know.
I want to see Dawson's face when I hand him this 5% of the $18,000 you lost.
Then we're with Act 4. We're in the "we're friends no matter how much body hair we acquire" scene in Dawson's room. And Dawson and Joey sit next to each other while actor Joey and actor Dawson sit on the bed next to
So meta.
Cool.
Right on.
And on that, it's a wrap for the day. Everyone leaves. Todd sits in Dawson's director's chair and then is like, oh shit, actually, Dawson, did you want this chair? But Dawson's like, nah, just take it. I don't care.
No, Todd, just stay there, man. And then is this where Todd very aggressively hits on Audrey?
Yes, while he's taking his shoes off and is massaging his foot as he does.
Ugh. That's a sweaty foot, probably.
Yeah.
Yes, and he's all like, why don't you say we tuck her into another room and have a go at it? Because, you know, that's how he talks.
Yeah.
Let's and it pop works. On, let's pop on into another room and tuck it on knickers and its head.
And that's a common phrase.
And Audrey's like, yeah. And then she's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then so is the whole crew staying at the Leary house because they like went into Gail's bedroom.
Yeah, no one seemed to be have a problem with that.
Yeah, they were like, all right, let's just go do it in whatever bedroom this is.
Oh, and then so Dawson leaves and then comes back and he's like just taking stock of the room, and then he lays down and Joey congratulates him. He thanks her. And then he asks her to spend the night because she's like, I got to get home. I got to row my boat home. And but she's sleepy. And Dawson's like, just come spend the night. And she asks if this is life imitating art, imitating life. Dawson's like, I don't.
He's like, dude, I'm tired.
Just come sleep.
And then he's like, I don't want to close my eyes because I'm afraid you won't be there when I wake up. And God bless Joey. She didn't laugh. I did.
Yeah. It's true. They talk about how you never know how many great days you get in life, which is a big conversation.
Yeah, it's like they're not dying.
Well, they might be.
Well, everyone's dying.
Whoa, no. No.
No, but we are. Well, you're a robot, so you're immortal.
Yeah, thank you. Robot love Christmas. Robot love fine print. Joey asks how he would describe the movie, and Dawson says it's about a girl who wanted more than what she had, who had to grow up to realize she already had everything she could want.
I thought it was a celebration of friendship.
He doesn't believe in friendship anymore.
Oh, okay. So now the movie has a different meaning.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. And then, then we have the, I don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep. Is that Missy, baby? I don't want to miss a thing.
But he does fall asleep and he does close his eyes.
Yeah. Well, she tells him, close your eyes.
She like does the thing. She like runs her fingertips over his eyelids to shut them. No, she doesn't. But she might as well have, because that's how cringy this scene was.
Yeah. But when I first saw your hand gesture, I thought at first you were going to say she does the thing where she like rubs right between your eyebrows, right at the nose.
My dog loves that.
Oh, Ray loves that. So puppies and kids, both. That's nice. That's like,
that's nice. Yeah. It's been a soothing. While since anyone's done that for me.
Come on over here. Let me get that noggin. Bring it in.
Oh, I felt it.
So lame.
That's so cool.
Let's never tell anyone we did that. Okay. Right, except for the podcast.
Cut that.
The next morning he wakes up still in his clothes on the top of the sheets. Joey's gone, but there's a note that makes him smile. It's just like BRB. LOL.
Meet me at the dock at this time.
Leave your pants off. You know, it's like little stuff like that. Then we're back to how we saw Joey in the cold open because she's got that fucking headband. And we see the clock again and she's getting some cheese weighed. And then we see Dawson. He's in different clothes now at the ruins, which used to be private. And now anybody can go to the ruins.
I guess. Why are you saying it like that?
I don't know.
The ruins.
It used to be fancy.
It used to be coveted land and you were trespassing and it was exciting. But now it's just like, come on in, guys. Pay admission.
Yeah. So Joey is wherever. She's got the headband. She's getting some cheese weighed. The clock. Dawson and Joey are at the ruins. Joey told them each to meet her there. She chicky-chicked them into meeting up with each other. Nice. Pacey's like, I think she did it so we can work things out. I'm just like, yeah, that didn't need to be said. That's clearly why.
Wow, you guys are so smart.
Wow. How'd you figure it out? Wild. Dawson says that if Joey's not coming, he's going to leave. But before he can leave, Pacey stops him. They both agree that they both said some shitty things the other night, and they both meant them. Which I liked that. I liked that they were like, yeah, we were both shitty, but like, we were both honest.
I'll say it again.
I can say it to your face. Pacey says maybe, so Dawson's like, I don't think we can move past that. And Pacey says maybe they don't need to move past it. They're different people now. And the only tie that binds them is that they both still love Joey. And you could see on Dawson's face that the last thing that he expected from Pacey was to say, we both still love Joey, which is crazy.
Yeah. Cause like Dawson, we all know.
Yeah.
You know?
His face is like,
what?
My Joey?
Who loves Joey? Not, did you say Joey?
Yeah. She's a girl. Pacey says he doesn't regret a second that he spent with Joey, and he knows that Dawson doesn't either. And mostly he just considers them lucky to have even gotten Joey Potter to give them the time of day, which, yeah, you should be so lucky, frankly.
Yeah. Big mood.
Dawson says it makes sense why it didn't work out with her for either one of them, because all they wanted was her, so much that it destroyed their friendship. And in the end, all she wanted was for them to be friends.
Saint Joey.
Yeah. Never met a project that she didn't want to fix. Pacey says he's going to ask this once and then never again. Is it possible to be friends again? And Dawson thinks about it and says anything's possible. And they have friend cam.
He throws him a bone.
Yeah.
And Pacey's all like, so you're saying there's a chance. Yeah, but it's you can't not have them have the possibility of being friends.
Yeah.
That sentence didn't make sense, but you guys get it.
No, I got it.
Yeah, no, I know you did. I mean, you speak Zaz.
Well, I speak to your heart. Okay, nice steady cam of Harley rowing off, and we are back to Joey's voiceover. Where she says that she used to be afraid of a million things, that she'd never grow up. She'd never reach her dreams. And then she says, it's true what they say. One day you're dreaming and the next day your dream is a reality. And under that is a montage of Dawson's movie rapping, Pacey working back in a kitchen, Jack and Jen in NYU, and Joey Potter, famous Paris head, finally in Paris.
Finally wearing a little Parisian scarf around her noggin.
She is... So she happy to be in Paris.
She made it. Because if there's one thing we know about Joey Potter, she has been dying to go to Paris.
Dying to.
Dying. And we know she's in Paris because we see the Eiffel Tower. So that's a dead giveaway.
Mm-hmm. And for sure they were there.
And she's smiling in French. She's all like, oui, oui, baby. Oui, oui.
Nice. Joey says that she's not a scared little girl anymore. And now that she's not that scared little girl, she misses her. She wants to tell her to relax. Okay.
Well, you know, she's not a girl, not yet a woman. She's in that phase of her life.
That's true, because she's also not even 21 yet.
Yeah.
Still. She wants to tell that scared little girl to relax, lighten up. It's all going to be okay. Meeting people who accept and understand you will become increasingly rare. And her Cape Side friends are always with her. It was the best of times. It was the best of times. Mistakes were made. Hearts were broken. But it's all a fond memory now. Now, it happens because you want to believe that the time that you spent together meant something. That you were each there for each other in a time that defined you all. And it's a time you'll never forget. That's her montage.
Reads for having two more full episodes, it reads a lot like a series finale. So I'm just so curious what the final two episodes are going to entail. Also, Joey, we've been all been telling you to relax for the past 6 years.
Yeah, you could have listened, babe.
It's just lipstick.
So I did want to ask you, now that you have seen this episode, you have not yet seen the series finale is a two-parter. We're going to record that. You're going to watch that. You haven't seen those yet. We're going to record those later. What are you thinking? Like, how are you thinking this is going to wrap based on this?
I'm thinking that this was more of a season finale for season six, because as we've been saying, season six is very Joey centered. And we've we've wrapped up Jack and Jen. I guess we won't see them again in these two episodes.
I'm not going to tell you anything.
Oh, God.
I know.
And we've kind of wrapped up Joey. And I feel like you can't end a show like Dawson's Creek on Joey, because it's a show essentially about Dawson and Pacey's friendship, and Dawson mostly. That's how it started. That's how it was initiated. I'm sure that's how it was pitched. So I feel like it's going to really center around Dawson and Pacey's rekindling and just kind of like where Dawson ends up. Because it has to end on Dawson. He's our titular character.
Don't talk about boobs one more.
Oh, is that not?
Having a nice moment.
Oh, sorry.
Cool. Okay.
Hi.
Oh, Retro's here.
Retro has not been feeling well for the past week, and he is back to himself, aka back to annoying Brian all day long.
Yay. Oh, I'm sorry he wasn't feeling well.
Happens.
Yeah. To the best of us, I guess.
Costs us $130 at the vet. Yeah.
Holy shit. Does someone want to talk to you about vet bills?
Listen, fucking vets. We need them. We love them. We value them. But sometimes, if you bring your animal to the vet and you think something's wrong, but then nothing's really wrong with them, like, just let me go without charging me. You know what I mean?
Ugh, that sucks.
Anyway, what was the question?
Vet bills? Where can they find you?
Oh, yes. Happy to talk about it at length with you at Ashley Zazz on Instagram and on Goodreads. Because I am a hashtag nerd. I'm bookish. And bookish.
Hashtag bookish. Oh,
and
nice.
Kim.
Yes, Saz.
Listen, people have been writing in nonstop, begging for info on how exactly you set up your smart home to set up Christmas for you. Can you go into length about where they can find you for that?
Would fucking love to. Now it is April. So you should have already seen this on all the social media's needs. I talked about it at length on Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, Mastodon, Threads, LinkedIn, at Kim Moffitt. And on TikTok, I was talking ticks about it. I crossed 500 million views at Kim Moffitt is here, talking ticks about this Christmas thing. So if you're not on board now, the limit is you got to close. You got to get in now because I'm actually going to be closing for new followers.
Yeah. Don't get left behind, you guys. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be that person. Yeah.
Show has no social needs, of course, just because that's something that we're
does have social needs. I mean, every week she fucking lies. We are at Dawson's Darlings on Instagram. I know you're going to miss us when we're gone, but let's keep in tizuch. That means touch, but the cool kids say tizuch.
That's beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah. I try to stay hip with the trends.
Well, you're knocking it out of the park.
That was me. That was the knocking. Knock, knock, baby.
It was very good. Very, very good. All right, well.
See you next time.